Thank you. We give you praise. We give you glory. We give you honor. We give you all adoration. We exalt your name. Thank you and thank you and thank you, Lord. In Jesus' most precious name, we have given thanks.
Amen.
If there was no today, life would be meaningless. The reason we still have hope, the reason we have faith, is because it rose from the dead. Bible says they went down, took the keys of death and of grave, and then came back alive again. Whatsoever has been dead in anyone's life, in this service, it is coming back alive. In the name of Jesus Christ. Would you like to congratulate your neighbor for me on your right and left? Happy Easter to you. Congratulations. Happy Easter. Congratulations. Happy Easter to you. Congratulations. Happy Easter. Congratulate them on your right and on your left. Congratulate them behind and in front. You are blessed. Put those hands together for the Lord. And please be seated comfortably. Father, we thank you for the resurrection power. Be thou exalted. In Jesus' marvelous name we pray. Quickly this morning, we are going to be looking at unveiling the power of his resurrection. Part 1b, unveiling the power of his resurrection. This will be part 1b. Because I live, he said, ye shall live also. John's Gospel, chapter 14 and verse 19. It says, because I live, ye shall live also. And now, and for us to walk in that reality, there is need for us to be able to see what he said. Until we see what he said, we will not be able to walk in the reality of what he has said. When somebody talks to you and you understand what they are saying, the next thing is, I see, I see, I see. Why? Not that you were blind, but it's now that understanding has come. Spiritual understanding has come. And now you say, I see. I see, I see. What should we see? That death could not kill him. And if death could not kill him, then death cannot kill you. Amen. What we see cannot be taken away from us. Now, he said, take a look at this mystery. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 14 to 15. 2 Corinthians 5. 2 Corinthians 5, it says, for the love of Christ constrained us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, how many did he die for? If one person died for all, then were all dead. It means without today, we are all living dead. It says he died for all. And then that he died for all, that they which live, he died for all. All were dead, but not all are living. Those who received him are the ones who are now living. They which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them. He died for us that we might live. Therefore, the life we live is no longer our own. We are living for him. Put it back. He says, he died for them, but unto him which died for them and rose again. So the good news is, he died for us. He went there, took the keys of hell and of death, and then he rose again, that we that were dead can live. Glory to God. I said, glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Philippians 3:10. Paul speaking by revelation, that I may know him. Because when I know him and the power that is in his resurrection, there is a power, there is some kind of power in his resurrection that only revelation can reveal. That we only know by revelation, that I may know him. And the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings be made comfortable unto his death. Until knowledge comes, we may never understand the power behind his resurrection. But I want to show us something very quickly this morning. Seven mysteries that his resurrection power includes. And that we can find in Ephesians chapter 1, 18 to 22. It says, now, when the eyes of your understanding becomes enlightened, that ye may know, that's when you will know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory in his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards all who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality, all power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put some things. Did he say some things? Did he say most things? And hath put all things under his feet. That means we were dominated, but the resurrection power has exchanged our position. Now we are the domineering force. We are now dominating our dominator. I mean, understand what God is saying. Glory to God. Take a look at seven things very quickly. Number one, we will know the hope of his calling. We will know the hope of his calling. The resurrection power, that when our eyes are open, we will know the hope of his calling. Number two, the riches of our inheritance and the kingdom will be open to us. The riches of our inheritance in the kingdom will be open to us. Or let me rephrase that. What we are entitled to in the kingdom will be made known to us. I said in the first service, you may not be able to understand how rich your father is until you see his will. When you see his will, it will contain everything that you didn't know. You may not also understand how poor he is until you see his will. Glory to God. That's when you will know that he didn't have nothing. But he says, our father has reserves of blessings for us. Resurrection power opens our eyes to locate what those blessings are. Someone in this service, what you are entitled to will be made known to you this time. Amen. Number three, we will better understand the extent of the greatness of his power. We will better understand the extent of the greatness of his power. Number four, we will better understand his sitting position and how. And those who sit with him will also be far from oppression. When we understand his sitting position, and we understand that at resurrection, he took us to his sitting position. Sitting with him shows us that every oppression is now under our feet. Number five, we will understand that everything is under his feet. If everything is under his feet, everything is under our feet because we are seated together with him. Number six, we will understand that he is now the head of the church and the enemy will always be the loser. He is the head of the church, and if he's the head of the church, he cannot lose. So the enemy will always be the loser. And finally, number seven, we will understand every other power that resurrection commands. The opening of our eyes marks the beginning of our true freedom. Until our spiritual eyes pop open, we may not understand what is available. That's why when Jesus came, the first miracle he did was the miracle of opening of spiritual eyes. The miracle of opening of spiritual eyes. The Bible tells us that when they went to the sepulchre on the morning, and as they usually did, he said something strange happened this time. Luke's Gospel chapter 24. It says, now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulchre bringing the spices which they had prepared and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre, and they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And they entered in, and his body was not there. And then they were concerned what happened here. But the angel told them something. In verse 6, he said, he is not here, but he is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee. You can't find the living among the dead. He's not here. He's now risen. And they said, in verse 13, that two men were walking as they were discussing what was going on in Jerusalem at the time, because nobody could comprehend what was going on. And behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 70 furlongs. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holding that they should not know him. Their eyes were holding, so they didn't know who he was. And then he now decided to go to the disciples, and he said unto them, what manner of communications are these that ye have one to another as ye walk aside? And the one said whose name was Cleopas, answering said to him, art thou not a stranger? Art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem? Don't you know what is going on? But they still didn't know that the one that they couldn't comprehend how he disappeared from the tomb is the one talking to them. Why? Their eyes were holding. So it is not everybody whose eyes are open that see. Glory to God. We need a spiritual opening of our spiritual eyes to be able to see some things. You know that testimony? He said, my wife has always been praying against animals. He said, but I didn't understand it. Now you understand. Why? Your spiritual eyes have popped open. That not all animals on the road are normal. Glory to God. He says their eyes were holding. Now verse 30. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it and brake and gave to them. And now what happened? And their eyes were open. And when their eyes became open, they knew him. Their eyes were opened and they knew him. The veil blocking the access to light was also destroyed at redemption. Matthew 27:51, and behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom, and the earth did quake, and the rocks rent. And that gave us access into the secrets of the kingdom. Today, your spiritual eyes will pop open.
Amen.
I said today, your spiritual eyes will pop open.
Amen.
Revelation is our access to the exceeding great power of God, who rules by power forever. Psalm 66 and verse 7. He ruled by his power forever. And now, very quickly, what part of our story will change? Because your story must change. By the resurrection power. What part of our story changes with the resurrection power? Number one is from filthiness to holiness. The first part after resurrection is that when you buy a car, after you have bought the car, you take it to the mechanic if it is a used car. You take it to the mechanic cleans it up, it tells you what is good, what is bad in it, and then it cleans it up for you. At redemption, at resurrection, one of the things he did for us was to take us to the Holy Ghost, who is the mechanic. And then the mechanic breathed into us the spirit of holiness. He cleansed us from all forms of filthiness. As a matter of fact, until we are cleansed, we can't come close to him. When he saved us, he took us to where we will be cleansed. And so after he cleansed us, then he brought us closer. And that's when he took us up to where he's seated. You can't be taken up until you are cleansed. So he cleans first. So let no one be filled thee, because the power inside that power is holiness. Cleansing from filthiness to holiness. Ephesians 2, 1 to 3. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now walketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past. Those were happening then. Now, that should not be happening now. Fulfilling the desires of the flesh then, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But at resurrection, he took off the spirit we came with and made us clean by himself. 1 Corinthians 15:42. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. So let no one say, I was a king, fornicator. I am still a king, fornicator. You have not been cleansed. You are still walking along in your filthiness. Someone would say, well, I have anger issues. You have not been cleansed. Glory to God. Because he knew, those were the things you had before. He said, now the resurrection power has power to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And then he took us our clothes, filthy clothes, and gave us the clothing of holiness. Understand that. Romans 6:14. For sin shall not have dominion over you. For now, ye are not under the law, but under grace. And then Paul said, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? He said, God forbid. We can't continue in sin that grace may abound. He said, God forbid. Number two, quickly. What part of our body, of our story, changes with the power of resurrection? From weakness to strength. From weakness to strength. We were redeemed weak and fainting, but resurrection power brought us strength. We were redeemed weak. You know, when you buy a very weak car and you are driving it, glory to God. You take it to the mechanics, they fix it. Even the one that sold it to you, when they see it, will be asking, are you sure that's the same car I sold to you? Why? Because it has now changed story. When we were, and I keep saying it, we were used commodities by the enemy. But when Jesus bought us, he took us to the mechanic's shop, like I said again. And then they changed every part of the body that made us weak. Gave us new parts. He says, as our maker, he has a heavy spare part somewhere, whereby whatsoever cannot be repaired will be replaced. So no one here is permitted to be weak again. I said, no one here is permitted to be weak again. Amen. You are 30-something, you are 40-something, you walk 3 minutes, you walk 5 minutes, you are tired, you sit for 7 minutes. You walk 2 minutes, you sit for 20 minutes at 40. And you are saying, you see, we are getting old. 40, you are not getting old. At 50, you are not getting old. At 60, you are not getting old. But something needs to change because it's not normal. From today, every form of weakness in anyone's system shall be flushed out this morning. Amen. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 44, it is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. He said it is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. sown in weakness, raised in power. Strength was part of the seven blessings which he received for us. Revelation chapter 5 and verse 12, it started counting the things that were received. He's saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power, to receive riches and wisdom and strength." Whatever weakness associated with anyone, it will be exchanged for strength this morning. I said it has been exchanged for strength this morning. Number three, very quickly, from captivity to liberty. We were captives. That's why he called us captives of the mighty. And when you are a captive, well, what can you do except somebody sets you free? He said in Matthew 27, 50 to 53, he said, Jesus, when he had cried with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost, and then behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom, and the earth did quake, and the rocks rent, and the graves were opened, and the many bodies of the saints which slept arose, and came out of the graves after his resurrection. So the resurrection power will never keep us in any form of prison of the enemy again. Amen. I didn't hear your amen.
Amen.
Whatsoever prison of the enemy that anyone has found themselves, they are coming out right now.
Amen.
We are no longer captives of the enemy. John 8 and verse 32, "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth that we know sets us free." So we are no longer captives, but we are now at liberty. Number four. From shame to glory. From shame to glory. Many of us have suffered all manner of shame before. All manner of shame. But at redemption, after is the resurrection power releases glory in exchange for our shame. When I became born again, I remember very well, I would never forget a friend of mine. He said, the reason Yemi is born again is because of frustration. He said, he's just frustrated. And I accept any kind of frustration that brought me to him. Thank you, Jesus. A couple of years later, I also became born again. So when I saw him, I said, I learned you are born again now. Deolu said, yes. What kind of frustration brought you here? Glory to God. He took us from where? Turned our shame into glory. There is no dignity in someone that is in prison. And you know we were imprisoned. When a judgment comes, and they say, well, guilty. They throw the man in prison. Nobody, even his family members, don't want to visit him. He has become an object of shame. Nobody wants to associate themselves with him because he has become an object of shame. But they take him again to another court. It says he appeals and goes to the court of appeal. And the court of appeal says, no. This man didn't do what you said he did. Vindicated. As he's coming out of jail, everybody that had doubted him now become his friend. Why? His shame has been turned to glory. As a matter of fact, when they see that he didn't even do it at all, they pay him all the time that he spent in jail. Glorification. Now, when we were in prison, we were in shame. But the enemy took us to a higher court after he had already given the judgment. We went to a higher court. Guess who the lawyer is? Jesus, the mediator. Guess who the judge is? God, the Father. Why would you think the judgment will not go in your favor? So the judgment goes in our favor, and then it turns our shame into glory, because he says, not guilty. He took us from where? Shame to glory. Wherever you have suffered shame, it shall turn to you for a testimony.
Amen.
I said it shall turn to you for a testimony.
Amen.
Revelations 5:12, again, seven spirits that were released. He says, saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power, to receive riches, and wisdom, strength, honor, and glory. Your shame is turned to glory.
Amen.
Number 5, from sickness to health. No one in this assembly will be sick again.
Amen.
The resurrection power gave us freedom to serve the living God. You cannot serve God in sickness. It's not permitted for us to serve God in sickness. As a matter of fact, the Bible says concerning the children of Israel that the reason God wanted them to leave Egypt was to go and serve them. Apart from the fact that he said he was going to give them the land, he says, let my people go that they may serve me. Glory to God. They were in captivity under Pharaoh. He said, let my people go. Exodus 7 and verse 16. Let my people go that they may serve me. Exodus 8 and verse 1. Let my people go that they may serve me. Exodus 8 and verse 20. Let my people go that they may serve me. Exodus 9 and verse 1. Let my people go that they may serve me. Exodus 9 and verse 13. Let my people go that they may serve me. Exodus 10 and verse 3. Let my people go that they may serve me. So God was consistent in the reason that he wanted his people to leave. He said, if you don't let my people go, I will kill your son. Let my people go that they may serve me. And after Pharaoh eventually let the people go, look at what happened. Exodus 23, 25 to 26. And ye shall serve. When they began to serve the Lord, and the Lord shall bless thy bread and thy water. And I will take what? I will take sickness away from the midst of you. So not is it that you serving will not be sick. Sickness can't come close to your house. We are servants. Our sickness are not permitted to come close. So he says, the enemy is the one that does not want you to serve him. Effect of our service is that there will be no sickness. So right now, after our glorification, after he set us free, he set us free to serve him. And when we are serving, sickness becomes something you look at afar off. It does not come close to you. Romans 8 and verse 11. But if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken our mortal bodies by his spirit that dwelleth in you. So anytime sickness wants to come calling, the spirit of him that raised up Christ from the dead that dwells in you knocks him out. And that's why we are partaking of the flesh, his flesh and blood today. Anyone that has any form of sickness in their lives, please listen to me. Let your spiritual eyes be open. That as you partake of the flesh and blood today, it knocks off every sickness and every disease.
Amen.
You will see that what you couldn't do, you have started doing.
Amen.
For somebody, sickness will be far from your tabernacle.
Amen.
That diabetes dies today.
Amen.
High blood pressure dies now.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ. Why? Matthew 8:17, that it might be said, which was spoken, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, himself took our infirmities, he bore our sicknesses. Himself took our infirmity, he bore our sickness. So, harboring any form of sickness is double jeopardy. I will keep saying it. It's double jeopardy. You can't harbor what somebody has already taken. You can't be punished twice for the same sin. In law, it is not acceptable. You have already paid the price for the crime they said you committed, and then they found out that you didn't commit the crime, and now you now go to commit the crime. They can't punish you again because you already served time. I mean, understand what God is talking about. You can't be punished twice for the same sin. So they said you killed somebody, and you know you didn't do it, but they still put you to jail 10 years. And then after 10 years, they found the person they said you killed. He's still alive. And then in front of the, in front of, in the, at the police station, you shoot the man. At, in front of police, they can't do anything. You already served time. That's what the law says. So Jesus already paid the price. He says, I already took your sickness. Why are you suffering it again? It's double jeopardy. You are suffering twice what I already paid for. From now, sickness is banished from your tabernacle.
Amen.
Number six, from poverty to prosperity. No one in this assembly will be referred to as poor again.
Amen.
Ah, you didn't believe it.
Amen.
No one in this assembly will be referred to as poor again.
Amen.
Because I said in the first service, we were used commodities. We had no value when he bought us. But he gave us value. And our value appreciated. He cleansed us. And our value appreciated. So we left our poverty state for prosperity. He took over our poverty state and exchanged it for his own prosperity. 2 Corinthians 8 and verse 9. He says, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, double jeopardy, for your sakes, he became poor. So that what? You and myself might be rich. So if we are living in poverty, it is not because he didn't pay the price for it, it's because we are doing something wrong. And he said, is also part of the things received at redemption. Revelation 5:12, saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches. I received it for you at resurrection. The resurrection power eliminates poverty and activates prosperity. No one in this assembly will be referred to as poor again. Listen to me very carefully. There is a difference between being broke and being poor. How many understand what I'm saying? Being broke simply means it is for a moment. As a matter of fact, you are expecting some things to land, but you are still waiting for them. Living in poverty means there is no hope. How many understand what I'm talking about now? From now, your poverty state will be exchanged for prosperity.
Amen.
Number seven, from defeat to victory. From defeat to victory. The last time you saw defeat is the last time you will be defeated.
Amen.
Your amen is weak.
Amen.
Why? We have crossed over to the winning side. We have crossed over to the winning side. I said humorously in the first service, I am not an addict supporter. I have the team I support. But if you are constantly losing, I will change you. Glory to God. You lost today. You lost yesterday. You lost 3 days ago. In fact, the one that beat you next is the next one I'll be supporting. Because nobody likes to be on the losing team, on the losing side. The losing side are always quiet. The winning team are always making their noisemakers, and you can't keep them short. Those guys will get their money. After they have lost 10 games, they are still going out and eating and enjoying their lives. And for you that is watching, they are not giving you anything. They don't even know you. They don't know you are watching. Your heart will now be doing heart palpitation. Because somebody is losing. I cross immediately to the winning side. I'm crossing to the winning side. From now, you won't be on the losing side again.
Amen.
I said, from now, you won't be on the losing side again. Matthew 28:18, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and on earth. If I have all power, then I cannot lose. The one that has the power is the one that is on the winning side. Once your the power is on your side, it means you have left the losing camp. He took the power on our behalf. 1 John 5 and verse 4. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. So we have left the losing camp. We are now on the winning camp, on the winning side. Glory to the name of the Lord. The resurrection power changed our story from defeat to victory. We can no longer be defeated. You can be challenged, but you cannot be defeated. Number 8, from slavery to dominion. We were not only in captivity, we were also in slavery. That's who we were. Because there are two different things. Captivity simply means, well, you may be a citizen of a nation, but you are in captivity. After a while, they will still release you and it's over. But slavery means you are enslaved by somebody. They are the ones that own you. It means they own you. Even when they throw you into captivity, because you are their slave, nobody will ask of you. But from now, that's why the Bible says, in Isaiah chapter 49, 24 to 29, 25, shall the prey be taken from the mighty, or the lawful captive. When we are talking about lawful captive, talking about a slave, because it simply means I own him. Or lawful captive delivered. He says, but thus saith the Lord, even the captives of the mighty shall be taken away, and the prey of the terrible shall be delivered. How? He says, because I will contend with him that contends with you, and I will save your children. I will contend with your contenders, and I will save your children. Why? Because we are bought with a price. We are no longer lawful captives. He paid with his blood for us. It was not bull's blood. It was not cow's blood. He paid with his own blood. And so he took us out so that we will not be enslaved again. Glory to God. He bought us for us to dominate. Ephesians 2 and verse 6. It says, and had raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. He made us sit with him. It says in Ephesians 1:19, where are we seated? And what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards us who believe? What is available in this resurrection power, it means. Ephesians 1:19 to 20. It says, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ and raised him from the dead, far and took us far above all principality and power and dominion and every name that is named. We are no longer slaves. We now have dominion over our previous masters. From today, no more enslavement on your life. Amen. And what part of our story changes with power of resurrection? From death to life. From death to life. We were dead, but the resurrection power brought us back to life. There is this song, I don't know if you guys know it. I was a dead man walking. Oh, I was a dead man walking. You brought a dead life walking back to life. In other words, I was a dead human being. But he changed my story and brought me back to life. He died the death that you and I should have died. That's the reason we are here today. He died the death that you and I should have died. So when the enemy is threatening to kill you, you tell him, no, that is double jeopardy. Somebody already died my death. I am not permitted to see death. No one here dies young. Amen. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. The least will be over 100 years old. Amen. It says, yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more. But ye see me. Why? It says, because I live, ye shall live also. I'm no longer dead. I'm alive. And because I'm alive, I've bought life for you. Say to your neighbor, our God is not dead. Luke 24, 5 to 6, he said, "And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, Why seek ye the living among the dead? He's not here. He's risen. He's not here. He's risen. We are no longer dead. We are now alive. We have graduated from death to victory." Now, Revelations 1:18, "And I am he that liveth and was the what? Was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys of hell and of death. I have the keys in my hands and I'm holding it in your favor. Any arrow of death that is shot at anyone goes back to the sender. No one in this assembly is permitted to die young. We will not bury anybody. Not only will you not die." Now, listen to this very carefully. We were dead. Let me show you vividly the resurrection power, how it worked in the book of Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter 37, verses 1 to 5. It says, "The hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, which was what? Full of bones." He said, "And caused me to pass by them round about." In other words, take note. "He took me to the valley of dry bones, but he made me walk around it so that I can observe them very well." Why? He caused me to pass by them round about. "And behold, they were very many in the open valley. And lo, they were what? Very dry. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord, thou knowest. Again, he said unto me, Now prophesy upon these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God, unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. Not only that, then he said unto me, Son of man," verse 6 now, "and ye shall live." Glory to God. Go to verse 6. "And I will lay sinews upon you, and will bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and ye shall live. And ye shall know that I am the Lord." Keep going one by one. 7 now. "So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to his bone. And when I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them above, but there was no breath in them." You remember I already promised breath. That's 11, verse 9. "Then he said unto me, Prophesy again to the wind. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, Thus saith the Lord God, Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon this slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived. And what? They stood up upon their feet, an exceeding great army." You know what will happen to you? Not only did he bring you from the dead and brought you alive, everything that you will require to be a testimony, he will put in your hands. Amen. Everything required. And then in verse 11, he said unto me, "Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say our bones are dried and our hope is lost. We were cut off for our parts. Therefore, prophesy and say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God, Behold, O my people, I will what? Open your graves. I will open your graves and cause you to come out of your graves and bring you into a land of Israel. Keep going. And ye shall know that I am the Lord when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up out of your graves. He said, and shall put my spirit in you, and ye shall live, and I shall place in your own land. Then shall ye know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, saith the Lord. You will die no death.
Amen.
I said, you are dying no death.
Amen.
Very symbolic of the resurrection mandate. Very symbolic. Therefore, in this service, let your faith come alive that no devil can kill you again.
Amen.
Let your faith come alive. By this understanding you should know now that, number one, that we can gain command over the issues of our lives. We can gain command over the issues of our lives. You should also know that the power of his resurrection delivers instantly. Son of God, Son of Man, prophesy. Says that prophesied as I was commanded, and then I began to see what I said. Quit saying what you don't want to see. Quit saying what everybody is saying. Because for you, what you say is what you see. I said at the Covenant Hour of Prayer, what you said yesterday, who you are today, is a function of what you said yesterday. What you are saying now is a function of what you will see tomorrow. Quit saying what everybody is saying. Well, it is hard in this nation. You know, before you can eat, you can't be a millionaire here. Don't let anybody deceive you. You can't. Says who? I told them at the Covenant Hour of Prayer one day when I got admission to University of Ilorin for mathematics, the first class I entered, they said, the man came in. You know, I said, if they employ you in a company, fresh, orientation, during that orientation season, is when you will know if you want to stay or if you are leaving. When they start telling you stuff, you will know, no. It looks like this place is not for me. This lecturer came in, and the first thing that came out of his mouth, welcome to the University of Ilorin, Department of Mathematics. But I need to tell you, if you want to be a millionaire, this is not your class. And I looked at a man, true. How many understand what I'm talking about? If you want to be a millionaire, this is not your class. Huh? Am I in the wrong class? I took off. I said, no, I can't do this one. No, even the mathematics, who sent me to go and read mathematics? What do I know about mathematics? I just said, let me try. Maybe I can catch up. You are now coming to say, you cannot be a millionaire. Watch what you say, brethren. Watch what you say. Only say what you want to see. Because the resurrection power has empowered your tongue. Somebody rise up on your feet. And give God all the praise and all the glory. Give God all the honor and all the adoration. For someone in this resurrection service, your story is changing.
Amen.
In this resurrection service, you are gaining command.
Amen.
Over the issues of your life, you are gaining command.
Amen.
In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
In this resurrection service, whatsoever you demand will be delivered instantly.
Amen.
There shall be instant delivery of your petitions.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ. Lift up those hands to heaven right now. Just ask God for one thing this morning. Lift up your voice to heaven. Ask him for one thing this morning. One thing this morning. One thing this morning. Father, we give you glory and praise. We give you all honor and all adoration. In Jesus' most precious name, we have prayed.
Amen.
In Jesus' precious name, we have prayed.
Amen.
All heads bowed and all eyes closed. Somebody is here this morning that needs to say, Lord, I want to cross from defeat to victory. I want to cross from defeat to victory. I want to change levels. Why not this morning? Like we said, Until he knows you, you don't have a chance. Everything we have talked about is not for you. It is for those who are redeemed. And it is better to quickly cross from the losing side to the winning side. Irrespective of who is looking at you, it's not between you and them, it's between you and your God. Therefore, this morning, somebody here wants to say, Lord Jesus, I want to know you as my Lord and my Savior. Put your right hand on your heart, wherever you are, let me pray with you. Just put your right hand on your heart. The second category of people are those who knew him before but walked out on him. And you know that you need to take cover again also immediately. Why not this morning? Second category of people, also put your right hand on your heart. Let me quickly pray with you. The Lord bless you. The Lord bless you. The Lord bless you if you are doing that. Glory to God. Please, church, keep clapping for Jesus. The Lord bless you. The Lord bless you. The Lord bless you. And if you are doing that, please join me here very quickly. Let's pray together. Join me here very quickly. You are saying, Lord Jesus, I want to know you as my personal Lord and my Savior. Someone else wants to say, King of Glory, I want to rededicate my life to you. Join us here very quickly. Join us here very quickly. Right now, please come. If he doesn't want to come, Lord, leave him. Leave him, it's fine. Glory to the name of the Lord. But if you are doing that, please repeat these words after me. Say with me, Lord Jesus, I've come to you today just as I am. I know I'm a sinner, but I know you died for me. And on the third day, you rose again that I might be justified. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me. Thank you, Lord, because now I am born again in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for these precious souls. Your grace brought them, the same grace will preserve them. Amen. These ones will never go back to perdition again. Amen. They will begin to take root downwards and bear fruit upwards to the praise and glory of your name. Amen. Thank you, everlasting Father. In Jesus' most glorious name, we have prayed. Amen. In Jesus' marvelous name, we have prayed. Amen. We are going to celebrate him first before we partake of the communion table. What are we celebrating? We are celebrating our liberty. What are we celebrating? We are celebrating our glory, glorification. What are we celebrating? We are celebrating everything positive that he has told us. We are celebrating the opening of our eyes. Is somebody ready to celebrate him now? If where you are is not convenient, please make your way here. Glory to God. Come on now, choir.
Hallelujah, Jesus lives. Hallelujah, Jesus lives. He lives in me. Lives in you, hallelujah, Jesus lives, Jesus lives. Bow before Jesus.